Voices. We hear them every day. Some voices, like mine, are smooth and comforting. While, on the other hand, the Chad and Cheese podcast is like listening to a Nickelback album. You'd rather stab yourself in the ears with an ice pick. Anyway, you're now listening to Voices, a podcast series from Chad and Cheese that features the most important and influential voices within the recruitment industry. Try not to fuck it up, boys.
Think your childhood had some hurdles? Not even close. On this episode, we meet Our Work CEO and founder Rakeem Morris. Chatting virtually with us from downtown Boston, Rakeem takes us on a journey of his childhood. No spoilers, but it was these early years that challenged him, tested him, and essentially made him into the man and leader he is today. Equal parts humbling and inspiring, it's a must listen. So Rakeem, where does this podcast find you?
This podcast finds me in Boston. And in fact, I'm sitting in Old City Hall in Boston right now.
How's the Wi-Fi in Old City Hall?
That's good.
Yeah, you tell me. How good is it? Is it good enough for you?
Is there like a Sam Adams router somewhere?
Well, I mean, Sam Adams is literally buried like perhaps like less than 200 feet away from me right now.
They planted the Wi-Fi in Sam Adams.
What's the best and worst part about living in Boston?
Really the people. You can find anyone that you want to ever want to meet here, whether it's different cultures, different ages, different everything. It's a place to find someone of interest for you.
And oddly enough, the worst part is the people of Boston. I'm kidding. What's the worst part?
That's funny. I mean,
the winters.
The weather, you know what? I've gotten used to the weather because I found out what winter coats are. Well, and I say that in a way that I grew up in upstate New York, and so I didn't have a good winter coat when I was there, and it makes it much bearable. I suppose one thing that one of the cons is that a lot of the streets here are narrow, and just generally it feels like a older city, but not in the way that's cool. In a way that like, all right, I can't get gigabit to my house for my internet. That kind of old. all the houses are old, and so there's like a lot of like not modernization in terms of how we're able to live here because of some infrastructure challenges.
Well, thank God the country's most elite technology school isn't in a place like Boston. That'd be horrible.
Hey, I had no stake in that game.
Would be. Talk a little bit about growing up in upstate New York. Your entire life, bred Albany. Where you at?
Actually, the first time I was outside of Albany, I was about 19. Born and raised in Albany, New York. And I think your question was, how was it growing in upstate New York? In Albany. So in Albany, Albany is the capital of New York. But as you both know, it's not the biggest city in New York. You definitely get some smaller town vibes, but it's very much a city. I had a pleasant enough childhood growing up in Albany, New York. And it gave me enough of a grounding in just, you know, where we are, who we are as people to be successful enough in the world. And so that's Albany for me.
So your upbringing is unique, single parent household. Talk about that and how it shaped you.
Yeah, you know, I think in terms of just having a single parent, it's something that happens frequently here in the States and for many, many, many different reasons. But you can imagine that you just have one half less of a person as the head of your household. It's one less income. That's one less stream of support. That's one less of everything. And that's just math. And so when you have a mom, in my case, a single parent, supporting three kids, there's just a lot of resources being divided across many people. So that's just the reality of it.
Remember, Joel, when latchkey kids became a phrase, a moniker?
I was one of them.
I think that was a Gen X thing, right? We're latchkey kids, where you would obviously get up in the morning, your parent probably wasn't there because they went to work, and then you came back home, and the parent still wasn't home yet because they were still at work, but you had the key that was either under the mat or on your necklace or where was your key?
That's a good question. You know what? Back in the day, and I Now that you ask, I haven't thought about this in years. I used to keep my keys in a carrot beaner.
I'm sorry, what? The carrot beaner? What is...
Carabiner. That's more of a military kind of like piece of equipment. Joel's, yeah, he's used to more like snacks, like carrots and, well, maybe not carrots.
Now, Rakim, you dropped out of high school, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Ooh, when?
So I was 14 years old when I dropped out of high school.
14.
I went through, I guess, my evolution as a person later in life. If I could, I was 14 years old, about 2 months away from becoming 15. That's just the way the school year works. And the reason why I dropped out of high school was because I had a new thing to do at home, and that was to bring my little brother to school every single day.
Are we talking elementary? Are we talking?
He's great question. He is 10 years younger than I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're 14 taking care of a four-year-old.
Exactly that.
Wow.
And so it wasn't even school. In the beginning, it was daycare.
Yeah.
I was bringing him to. And then eventually it became school. Explaining why I got into this situation in the first place. So I mentioned before, single mom, but also my mom, her employer, gave her an ultimatum. And they told her that she needed to move her afternoon nursing shifts to mornings or find a new job. When that happened, she asked me to begin bringing him to school. Well, initially, again, daycare, and then eventually to school every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But, sometimes in the morning, they aren't always cooperative, especially when you're 3, 4, 5. And so you can imagine that this would add a lot of time to my schedule every single day. Most of the time, I got him to daycare about 2 miles by public transit across town.
Jeez.
It just added 90 minutes to 2 hours to my mornings every day. I began missing my first period of school, and that dominoed to me missing entire days of school. And the last thing I'll mention there is that I didn't quite understand this when I was telling people initially the story that I only began this year recently, that I'm telling you now. I didn't realize that people thought I just dropped out because I wasn't focused or something like that. I was in honors classes. I was actually a year ahead in school.
Time out. You didn't. So did anybody reach out to you during this? I mean, seeing a kid with such great promise just eject. Did you have anybody actually? I mean, from the school, reach out to you and say how they could prospectively help?
Yeah, that's a really great question because this is what happened. So no one from the school, I'm sure they called me. I don't remember getting those calls, and I don't remember my mom letting me know that she got those calls. So about around the time I was going to my high school, Albany High School in upstate New York, only 43-44% of people that entered the freshman year graduated from that high school. It's one of those schools that, Johns Hopkins has done some like research of all these high schools in the States. And it's just one of the dropout factories, they call it, in the States. And so I think I got some calls. Perhaps they were automated. There were just so many people who were dropping out of my high school. It's the only high school, public one in Albany. They put you on a program when you don't go to school. So eventually the outcome of this was that I was in this program called TIPS. I forget what the acronym stands for, but they more or less have you visit a probation officer every week or every other week.
Like truancy, right?
Exactly. Yep.
And what was the impact on your mom? Obviously a solid work ethic as a nurse. Where was her head knowing that her son was in honors classes and dropping out of high school? That must have been crushing.
Definitely it was. I also have to say that because I was also working, we had opposite schedules. So, I wasn't, having these types of conversations with her. I was like literally working in the evening while she was working in the day. And then it would often switch.
Wow.
At a certain point in time, she was able to get enough stability with her work that this wasn't an issue later when I returned back to high school. Though for some time, it was definitely, a lot extra to do that others wouldn't have to worry about at that time.
So what was the catalyst to get you back into school? What sort of events played out?
I have a couple of different people to thank for that. I made friends with an incredible group of people that age in my life that were around the same age. We all had our own thing that we were dealing with in life, and they really encouraged me to go back to school around 17, 18 years old. And so that was one. I had an amazing mom of a friend who also encouraged me to. And of course, my mom, who actually went through the process of, getting it all done and making sure that I was returning back to school. So I have a really good group of people, both friends and family that encouraged me to go back to school when I was 17, just about 18 years old.
So your mom, she was obviously having not really scheduling issues. She was having employer issues, right?
Yeah.
So what do you know about that experience other than it rocked your life and obviously her life as well? What can you tell us more about that experience for her? What could you actually see? What was your experience through her?
Yeah, that's another great question. When I think about it, she was already out of the house in the morning when I was awake. Mm-hmm. So she needed to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And the way that the public transportation, well, it just takes an hour to get there. if you were to do it by public transportation, we didn't have a car. And so for her to be on the bus for nearly an hour, she had to walk to the bus stop, get in the bus. It just took 90 minutes for her to get on the bus in the morning. So she left around 4:30. So in the morning, it was completely up to me and whatever I wanted to do and what she instructed me to do too at that time, which was to bring my little brother to school. It was all up to me. And there was no one looking over my shoulder to make sure I got to school. What I'm getting to is that given the time, so if you're working an 8-hour shift and you get your standard 1 hour, which is typically unpaid, especially with wage work, you're at work now for 9 hours. Then you have an hour to and from work because it's several miles away. She doesn't have a car. So now you're spending earning 8 hours. Now you're spending close to 11 to 12 hours just to do that one job because you don't have the resources to buy a car and you're taking public transportation. I guess that's also to say, too, it's hard for me to tell you exactly all the things that she was working through and the feelings and emotions and thoughts that she was dealing with to see her son go through this, drop out of high school. And it's because she was working. She wasn't in the house. And then, eventually I was going to work myself in the evening, including going to night school for my high school diploma in the end.
So this does have a happy ending. And you most people would say you're a very unlikely candidate to attend an Ivy League school.
Yeah.
Let alone maybe even have that on your radar. Talk about the process of considering an Ivy League school, applying, getting in, what that was like. That seems like the best Hallmark story ever. From your perspective, how did that play out?
Yeah, it worked. It played out very well. So I went back to high school when I was 17, 2 months away from becoming 18. I went to a night school program that allowed you to get the full credit for that course if you're passing the final exam. And so even though I had only gone to high school for a year, I was able to finish the last 3 years of school in a single year because I would clear these six final exams. And in fact, I actually got on some of the state exams, I had scored the highest in the school in both the night and day programs. And so I still had that working well for me. But, I had this experience not going to school for so long. It became, I'd say, clear to me that even at 18, that education was going to be the only way for me to get out of my current circumstance, my situation. And I really poured myself completely into it when I was younger.
You can find more episodes of Voices, the Chad and Cheese podcast series devoted to stories and opinions of industry leaders by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts or just visit chadcheese.com.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.